Are we ready?
We're ready, Steve. You're good to go.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to welcome everybody. Vicky made a comment earlier that I'm going to be able to see everyone's face now, and we'll be, you know, you don't have to look at anyone in the back of anyone's head. So that's a good thing. Also, want to welcome Dave Wallace, my good buddy from Nebraska. He's watching today, and Dave, it's good to have you on board. I'm gonna have to be on my best behavior though if you're out there. About 5 weeks ago, 4 or 5 weeks ago, Joe called me and asked me if I'd be interested in sharing a message, and I said yes. And then I spent 3 weeks trying to figure out what the Lord wanted me to say and what he wanted me to talk about. So last week, I was kind of in your situation, Reggie, where I couldn't sleep. So I was just kind of laying there with my eyes wide open, and I had a few songs in my head, and all of a sudden the Lord spoke a word to me of what the message was going to be. So this is the first part of a 10-part sermon series on something that's very near and dear to my heart, and that would be the heart. Being the obedient person that I am, that's what I'm going to speak on today. But one message won't do it, but I'm not really going to do 10, only one. but first of all, I want to share a couple of interesting things about the human heart before we get into the spiritual aspect of things. And I mean, this is not, you know, complete. It's just a couple of little things that I picked up. It says that, and we know this, that the heart is really the command center of our life, and once it shuts down, we're finished. The human heart beats on the average 115,000 times a day. It pumps 2,000 gallons of blood through 60,000 miles of blood vessels, with all that blood going through the heart one time per minute. A portion of the blood goes to the brain and the central nervous system, some goes to the kidneys, and then a little bit of it goes to the heart. It begins beating 4 weeks after conception, and it doesn't stop until death. It can even continue to beat for a time when disconnected from the body. It has an electrical system called the cardiac conduction system that controls the rhythm of the heart. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but laughing is good for the heart. It's also good for the immune system. So during this time, instead of depression and discouragement and despair, we need to be laughing. And it's possible to have a broken heart. And a broken heart, of course, is caused by a rush of stress hormones from emotional and physical stress events. Not too many people die of a broken heart, but untreated extreme stress and emotions over a long period of time can result in death. So I guess one might gather from this short and obviously not complete fact about the heart is that it's a relatively important organ for us in the sustaining of life and living. When God created us, he did it that way, and that could probably explain why it's referenced in some way, shape, or manner over 300 times in the Bible. And that's why this is, you know, this message is only a little teeny weeny bit of what the Lord speaks about when he talks about our hearts. And hearts come in various forms, like broken, faint, hard, kind, simple, stout, whole, and then there's always heartless and heart ache. Through prayer and fasting, as we've been doing for the last week, I kind of narrowed the biblical references down to three or four, so you can breathe easy on that. Starting with Jeremiah 4:3-4, and in Jeremiah, he's talking to Judah and Jerusalem, which is a common theme, seems like, throughout the Old Testament. But and he says in verse 3, "Plow up the feral," which is kind of the hard, the coarse part of your heart, "and change it before the Lord, or my anger will burn like an unquenchable fire because of your sins." Now, unquenchable means that you can't stop it. It's going to consume. So So he's saying that we need to do something with our heart, otherwise, you know, we could be in serious trouble. In Zephaniah, and I have to say that one time about 3-4 weeks ago, Dan Demers called me early. We have two or three times a week, we have a little phone Bible study. And he was sharing with me, like he wasn't sure how to pronounce it or whatever, but he said look up, and he spelled it for me, Zephaniah, which is towards the end of the Old Testament. And I started reading it, and that's your assignment. Read the whole book. It's only 3 chapters. It's very intense stuff. But at that time, the Lord had it with Judah and Jerusalem. And again, and he used Zephaniah to warn them regarding the coming day of judgment and made a prophetic appeal. He appealed for the nation to repent and seek the Lord in humility before the coming doom took effect. He told them they needed to be glad and rejoice with all their hearts. So we're going back to that heart issue again. And then it's funny too, because Dan and I were talking in Samuel, when Samuel was looking for a king. And that kind of takes me back to what Reggie and I have been talking about this past week. When he sent me something about Samuel. Check out this. What do you think God means in this situation? So it's kind of neat how all these things are kind of like intertwined with all this ministry that's going on because of this this pandemic thing. But so Samuel was looking for a king to replace Saul, and God spoke and said, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him," or them, because they were people they were looking at that were maybe big and strong and handsome or whatever. And he said, "I don't look at the same things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So you can put on a good show physically or whatever, but he looks in the heart. The other day I was puttering around in the kitchen, and of course I had already, you know, this is after the Lord had kind of showed me that the message was going to be on the heart, and I was trying not to pick up any more information because I didn't want to have that 10 page or 10 series thing on the heart in one Sunday morning. But so Melinda has a little thing that she uses to put over her tea cup to keep it warm, and it's a little whatever they call it, but anyway, it says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So I'm like, oh no, I gotta add that to my little message. But God puts little, you know, he puts little notes and things in front of you that you can't avoid, I guess. But so speaking of that, says that and that came from Matthew 6:21. What you value is where your heart truly is, and what and where your attention and priorities are. So again, what you value and where your attention and where your priorities are have to do with where your heart truly is, which goes back to the fasting and some of the things that we shared this morning with the testimonies about what God's doing, you know, to change us. And hopefully that whole thing, you know, doesn't exclude the Lord. And in our cases, it can't. In anyone's case, it can't. As I had mentioned in the physical attributes of the heart, as the heart goes, so go we. And it appears, especially from those scriptures of Jeremiah, Zephaniah, and Samuel, that the warnings were given to the people who had had some serious issues. And if you want to read about issues from the human standpoint, start in Genesis with Adam and Eve. That's where it all started. Those issues include, and like these were all referenced in those scriptures, include corruption, arrogance, obeying no one, doing our own thing, we're undisciplined, filled with pride, anger. That can be open anger or repressed. You can be cool and calm on the outside, but you can have that repressed anger internally. Hostility, anxiety, resentment, unforgiveness, arrogance. And that takes me to this book that I've read over the years called Deadly Emotions, and it's written by a Christian doctor about how all kinds of deadly emotions can actually create some of the physical problems that we have in our lives now through unresolved things, whatever they may be. Going on with the list, complacency, senselessness. We just don't seem to have any sense. We don't have any common sense. And I do have to say that Ben Carson said it well the other day, with this whole thing going on in our country and in the world, we have to get back to using common sense. And as Christians, we have to do that every day. Well, we should be doing that every day. We can be full of violence and deceitfulness. We can have evil attitudes and so forth. Those are all listed in those scriptures and many other scriptures that in the Old Testament, in particular with the prophets. And they're all basically sinning against Almighty God. He even gets upset with the way people of the Lord were insulted and mocked back in those days and even in today's time. So going back again to Jeremiah and Zephaniah, because the Lord was so upset with the people, this is what he was going to do. He was going to sweep away, cut off, punish, plunder, send clouds and blackness, darkness and gloom, trouble and ruin, and his wrath down upon them or us. That's not like a slap on the wrist. Those are pretty serious things that he's going to do to the people. And where do those sins that so easily beset us come from? And what are they directly related to? The condition of our heart. The condition of our heart. Believe me, I'm no expert when it comes to the like physiological and neurological connections between the head and the heart, or the heart to the head. And it can work both ways. But I do know that it's a process that must take place. Anyone go through that? Anyone ever go through that? Where your head may be saying something, your heart's saying something else, and who do you listen, what do you listen to? It's kind of like we're talking about the devil on one shoulder and the Lord on the other, whispering in your ear. But this process of, going from the head to the heart has to take place, as we all have questions that need to be answered and decisions that need to be made to help us get to the promises that he has for us. That's where the scripture that I like from Psalm 139, 23, and 24 really helps. And I don't know if any of you get this, but the Cantors, Dave and Linda, send us a little sunshine, S-O-N, shine devotion every day, and they've been doing that for years. But so they sent us this one the other day. It said, I'm not sure what version the scripture is. I mean, it could be the Message, but it says, I invite you, talking about the Lord, we invite you, Lord, to investigate and sincerely gaze into my heart. Examine me through and through and find out everything that may be hidden within me. Put me to the test and sift through all my anxious cares. See if there be any path of pain I am walking on, and lead me to your glorious everlasting way, the path that brings me back to you. And then Psalm 26:2 says, kind of talks about us being tested, proven, put on trial, examined, tried, cross-examined, inspected, evaluated, everything. Everything is, the Lord does everything because he knows everything. And so all those things, they have to do with our motives, the heart, the mind, and the thoughts. And it makes me think of when I was teaching school periodically, it happened in the military too, periodically you would be evaluated. In the military, they would evaluate you over time, and then they'd do a form and fill it out and all that stuff. But in school, they'd have someone above you would come in and evaluate you. Any of you teachers out there know what I'm talking about, right? Now from Kathy and others. So they would tell you a couple days ahead of time, I'm going to come in and evaluate you on Thursday. And so you get all your books in order, your plan book has to be all done right. And, you get your office cleaned up or whatever, make sure the gym looks good. And you're on your best behavior. You say all the right things to the kids, and you're just very instructive. You take time with every kid. And we should be doing that every day anyway, right? But we have a tendency, if we know we're going to be evaluated, to be on our best behavior. And then when they leave, then you just go back to your old ways. That's kind of how it is with the Lord, but it should be every day. We should be realizing that he is evaluating us. So the scriptures that I've referenced throughout this whole message also have, and this is very important, a message, as Malcolm had talked about the other last Sunday, of hope. For example, in Zephaniah, it says, if we gather together and seek the Lord, seek humility, righteousness, worship him, fear him, accept correction, pray, read the word, be meek and humble, be glad and rejoice in him with all your heart, surrender your heart to him, then he will regather, reconcile, redeem, and restore his people. So we have, and anyone, Reggie, John, Malcolm, anyone else who's ever shared the messages with us have always said that if we do this, the Lord will do that. We have a responsibility. He's just not going to, where's that magic wand, right, Malcolm? There's no magic wand. It's on us. My coach over here is asking me a question. She's getting me out of my zone here. At the beginning of chapter 2, I believe, in Zephaniah. So he's going to do all these things, regather and reconcile and all that, like I said. It's okay and necessary to be confronted by the Lord's warnings, because by listening to the warnings and following the warnings, we will be comforted by his promises. If we heed them, then we're good to go. But he has wrath for the wicked and a great day of salvation for us. It kind of makes me think of the Harbinger. Some of you may be familiar with this book here. This whole book is written to, as a warning to America. And that's us, of all the different things that can happen. It says that there exists an ancient mystery that holds the secret of America's future. Is it possible that there exists an ancient mystery that holds the secret of America's future? That this mystery is behind everything from 9/11 to the collapse of the global economy, like right now. Of course, this was written before the pandemic, but that God is now sending a prophetic message on which America's future hangs. That's very possible. And again, now that we have this, this pandemic stuff going on with so many distractions taken away, some good, but some not so good, like jobs and the economy and all that, that's not so good. But we have choices. Are we going to be fearful and panic-stricken, resulting in discouragement, depression, and falling further away from God? Or are we going to be brutally honest with ourselves and seriously and truly examine our hearts, humble ourselves, and pray, and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways? Because if we do, then he will hear from heaven and forgive our sins and heal our land. Because that's from 2 Chronicles 7:14, which is a big one. Reggie had mentioned in his message four weeks ago, about searching out the Lord and asking him for wisdom and asking the Holy Spirit to guide us through all this stuff and guide our hearts. John talked about on Palm Sunday, he talked about like Jesus delivering us from slavery and the sacrifices that we have to make to change. And then, of course, Malcolm talked about the hope that we have in Christ. This is kind of a continuation of that. The condition of our heart will dictate how we respond to people, how we respond to situations, good and bad, how we respond to circumstances around our lives. And you can judge that with and by our actions, our words, and then, of course, our own selves, our thoughts, as well as what we do with lustful eyes. Our responses to our darkest hour, the worst thing that can happen to us, will define who we are in him or not in him. The tougher the situations are, the more real the condition of your heart will be revealed and exposed. In our little marriage seminars that we do with younger couples, premarital stuff, and we've done it with married couples too. Is that a lot of times, I know none of you can identify with this, but a lot of times there are conflicts and there are situations that arise that create problems in a marriage or in a family or in, you know, even like Heather was saying, you know, family conflicts, being stuck in the house, you know, forever or whatever. But you're always going to have those. You know, there's going to be conflicting things, stressful things, emotional moments in your lives. And so what we encourage the, you know, couples to do, and we try to do it too, is that whoever is the most mature spiritually at that moment, and it could be one or the other depending on the situation and what people are going through, but whoever is the most mature and controlled during those moments has to step up and help settle the issue without things getting worse. And that person could, you know, vary, you know, like I said, depending on the situation. Usually it's Melinda. but it's the same thing in our situation. Some, you know, it depends on who's in the right place at the right time with the Lord as to how you're going to deal with circumstances. Does that make sense? Everybody kind of get that? Life happens, and we need to get through it with the help of the Lord and the Holy Spirit. It kind of reminds me of this pandemic thing. Last week, I was splitting wood in a blinding snowstorm with, then it would change to rain, the wind would blow. I'm sloshing through the, you know, the mud and the snow, and you know, the wood's wet, there's puddles everywhere. You know, when the splitter would hit the wood, the, you know, water would splash up into my face, and I'm going like, why am I doing this? This is like total misery. 2 days later, the work environment was much better after some sunshine and a breeze. The area, the sky, the wood was much drier, and it became a very pleasant experience. Two days later, work through whatever comes your way, a virus pandemic and all the other things we face in this life. You need to do it with a joyous heart, and it too shall pass. That's kind of my message. I have a song that I want to play after, but I don't know if Reggie, if we have time. Well, like I said, you know, what's time? But if anybody would like to just share some things maybe they got from this, or what's going on in your heart right now, to kind of add to what we did before at the beginning with the testimonies. Or, but the condition of our heart is the key to everything. And if the heart, the physical heart's not working right, there's going to be issues. And if the spiritual heart is not working right, we're going to have also issues. And so we want to be right with God. We want to do what he is calling us to do, so that we can function properly in this world the way he has planned for us. And then I've got a song and a prayer too, but we can do that for now.
Okay, we can do the we can do the song, John. And then we're going to do joys and concerns. And if anybody else wants to put something else in there, they can do that too. Is that right, Steve?
Yep.
Great message.